I appreciate this opportunity because what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you a little bit of a better glimpse now into what we taught the kids each and every Sunday here at Vacation Bible School. What I'm going to do is I'm going to form my message in the format that we actually had for the kids each and every day of Vacation Bible School. We're going to look at the five main Bible points that the kids learned when they were here during the week. We're just going to look at them maybe at a little bit of a deeper level than what the kids looked at while they were here. And I hope as we look at what the kids learned, and it'll be a good review for you kids, and I want to see how well you remember what we learned during the week. It'll be an opportunity for hopefully for the adults to learn some things as well, because you know what? The Bible is equally applicable. The Bible principles are equally applicable to kids as adults. It doesn't matter. We can all learn from God's Word, and the same principles are they're universal, as we say. From the youngest child up to the oldest adult, God's Word can change each and every one of our lives. And what I'd like you to do is turn to Genesis. We're just going to be in Genesis today. Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. When you're there, say amen. Okay. All right, here's what I'd like you to see. Our first Bible point on day one on Tuesday was this. Kids, say this for the parents, and parents, say it with them. We are all sinners. Let's say it one more time. We are all sinners. That was our Bible point on Tuesday. And this was the story the kids learned on Tuesday from Noah's Ark. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Not long, this is only chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, not long after God created the earth. It didn't take long for the earth to become filled with sin, to become so corrupt that, as the Bible says, every thought of man was only evil continually. When God looked down from heaven and he looked at the earth, all he saw was a bunch of sin in everyone's hearts. Nobody had a desire to follow God. They all wanted to follow their own desires, their own lust, as the Bible says. You know, but it's easy to look down upon those people in Noah's day. Oh, they were all sinners back then. No, we wanted the kids to understand that sin wasn't just something that was abundant in those days. It's abundant today as well. And just like everyone on the earth was a sinner in Noah's day, today, just the same way, we are all what? Sinners. We are all sinners. Oh, some of the kids might have thought to themselves, well, I'm not a sinner. In fact, Larry and Clifford in our lesson time didn't believe they were sinners. But we tried to help them understand what a sin really was. A sin just isn't killing someone. A sin just isn't stealing something from a bank. One of those bad sins, as we think about, bad, really, really bad things that you can do. We define sin by looking at God's Word. In God's Word, when I say God's Word, more specifically, look at His law. Look at His 10 commandments. There's laws like thou shalt not covet, being jealous of somebody else's things. Something that belongs to somebody else. Hey, I'm guilty of that. Raise your hand if you're guilty of that one. I think we all have been guilty of that one. How about thou shalt not bear false witness? That means you're not supposed to lie. Hey, I'm guilty there too. How about honor thy father and mother? Never. All the parents are holding up the arms of the kids on this one. They've broken that law. Disobeying your parents. But hey, all you parents were kids at some time, at some point. And maybe even as adults, we haven't always honored our parents. We've broken that law as well. And I could go on and on and on. But when you look at sin as it's defined in God's Word, the fact of the matter is you can't deny that we are all what? We are all sinners. And our memory verse for that day was Romans 3:23. The kids memorized this verse, and it's this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, kids today are taught that man and people are basically good. No, we're not basically good. We're basically bad. Why? Because the Bible says that by nature, we are children of wrath in Ephesians 2, verse 2. And in Romans 5, verse 8, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. In verse number 5, if you will look with me at verse number 5 in our text one more time. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, what's the next word? imagination of the, what's the next word? Thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know what's interesting? God wasn't just looking at their actions. He was looking at their thoughts. He was looking at their heart. God looks right to our heart. When Jesus Christ walked the earth, he taught his disciples, it's not just enough to never kill someone, never murder someone, if you hate your brother in your heart. That's as good as killing him in God's, just as bad in God's eyes. You don't have to just, if you lust after a woman in your heart, it's just as bad as committing adultery in God's eyes. God looks at the heart. He looks at what our thoughts and our imaginations are thinking, and that's how he judges us. And when we look at that, when we know God can see our heart, when we know God can see our mind and our thoughts, the fact of the matter is we have to admit, I fall short of God's glory. That's a good step to be, that's a good place to start, though, because if you never admit that, you can't get along the line to where we're going to get to on day number three. Unfortunately, day two wasn't really much better news. Day two, we learned this. The wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death. Look at verse number six. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will what? I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me. In other words, he was sorry that he had done this. It repenteth me that I have made them. God was so grieved. He was so saddened by the sin on the earth. He said, I'm sorry I even made man because it's bringing me so much grief and sorrow. Well, how was he going to destroy every man and woman on the earth? Well, he explains it to Noah in chapter 7, verse number 4. Chapter 7, verse number 4 says this, for yet 7 days and I will cause it, for yet 7 days and I will cause it to what? Rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So the punishment that the people in Noah's day were going to suffer for their sin was death. And our memory verse teaches us from day two that we suffer death as well for our sins. Romans 6:23a, let's say that together. For the wages of sin is death. But it's a different kind of death. The death that the people in Noah's day suffered was a physical death. Our death is what the Bible calls spiritual death. That means being separated from God forever in hell. A place of burning fire, lake of fire, the Bible says. In Revelation 20, verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. That's true spiritual death. Our physical death really isn't something to be afraid of if you're saved, but spiritual death is. Being separated from God forever in hell is something to be scared about. Satan doesn't want you to know that, though. Satan doesn't want you to know the wages of sin is death. We gave this illustration to the kids on day two. In their pack powwow, we brought in a mouse trap. All the pack powwow leaders had a mouse trap, and they set up a trail of cheese along the room, and they had a kid who had a mouse picture in front of him or her eat one piece of cheese at a time. And, you know, at first we had the kids act like they, we said, go outside and act like you're just peeking in, you know. The mouse is just kind of looking outside of his hole. That cheese looks really good, but I'm not supposed to go out there. There's danger out there, I've heard from other mice. But it looks so good. And then you go taste the cheese and that tastes good. I'm going to go back to my hole, though. I just wanted to try one piece. Maybe I can go back and get another piece. Taste another piece. Oh, that's great. And then again, and then again, and again. But on that last piece of cheese, when he steps on the mouse trap, what happens? Slams shut. And that mouse is faced with death. And it's the same way with sin. Satan tries to disguise sin as pleasurable, as fun, as enjoyable, as something that will make you happy, that will bring you joy. But the end of it is death. The end of it is death. The Bible says this. It says Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin can be fun and pleasurable for a season, but it's not going to end that way. It ends in death. We wanted the kids to know the wages of sin is death. Though those 2 days were bad news, you say, man, didn't you tell our kids anything nice and happy at Vacation Bible School? Yes, we did. On day number three, we got to the good news, and that's this. We can be saved from the sin, from the punishment that we deserve. Now look at verse number 18, if you will with me. Verse number 8, not 18. Verse number 8. It says, but who? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Now, why did he find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Because Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He loved God. He wanted to please God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Bible makes us think that, gives us obviously the, indicates that he was the only man on the earth who really wanted to walk with God at this time. Everyone else was only following their own sin. Verse number 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But the good news, verse number 14, God says this to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms, that's the song we just sang. He built him an arky ark. He built it out of gopher barky barky. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now look at chapter 7, verse number 5. It says, and Noah what? Did. He did according unto all the Lord commanded him. He did what the Lord told him to do. Now look at verse number 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two. There's that song, two by two. That's where that comes from. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Now look, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and what? 40 nights. Rains came down 40 days and 40 nights. We just sung that in that song. Every person on the earth perished. Not one person survived this flood. It covered the highest mountaintop, the Bible says. The only people that were saved were Noah and his family, because they were the only people on the what? They were the only people on the ark. God told Noah, Noah, I'm offering you a way to be saved from the flood that's coming, but there's only one way. It's the ark. By faith, Noah believed and he trusted God. He built that ark like God told him to. He built that boat. And when the time came, he loaded his family on that boat, on that ark. And when the rains came, only the people in the ark were saved. Wow, the ark is an incredible picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the earth and he lived a sinless life. Never sinned, never broke God's law before giving his life on the cross. Taking an unbelievable amount of pain, physical and spiritual pain, giving his life on that cross for our sins. Now today, he's in heaven. He rose from the dead, and he is offering salvation from hell that we deserve. He's offering salvation from hell the day that you die by only believing in him. And you must be in Christ if you're going to be saved, just like they had to be on the ark to be saved from the flood. Just as the ark was the only safe haven from the terrible flood waters that came and brought death with them, only Jesus Christ can save us from the death and hell that we deserve. Jesus Christ is offering us eternal life as a gift. There's no price tag, because he paid for the price with his blood on the cross. And that's the good news that we told the kids. And our memory verse for that day was this, Romans 6:23b, the end of the verse. Let's say it together. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, you're like those people who are outside the ark. You might think it's funny. You might think it's a big joke, all this stuff about church and about hell. You think that's just a cuss word in your mind. It's not. It's a real place. And when the day comes that you die, you don't want to be like the people who are pounding on the ark. I shouldn't have laughed. I shouldn't have thought it was a joke, because it's real. But at that point, it's too late. After you die, it's too late to realize it's real. You have to trust in Christ now. You have to get on the ark. You have to get inside Christ today before the time is too late. Praise God for the children who trusted Christ as their Savior during vacation Bible school. Amen? We can be saved. And number four, if you have been saved, this is good news. God keeps his what? God keeps his promises. Miss Lorena hit on that a little bit. Genesis 8 verse 1. And God remembered Noah. I like that. God remembered Noah. He didn't forget. He He knew exactly where Noah was on that ark. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged, the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of the heavens were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters were turned off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Look at verse 18 and 19. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. God told Noah, Noah, this flood's going to come, you're going to be saved, and you're going to get back on the earth afterwards. I'm telling you, I'm going to keep my promise to you. And he did. And after God kept that promise, he gave Noah one more promise. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he said, Lord, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for giving us salvation. And God was so pleased with Noah's sacrifices that the Bible says he gave Noah one more promise. Now look at chapter 9, verse number 13 through 15. It says this, God says, Noah, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all the earth. God said, I'm going to give you a promise that I'll never destroy the whole earth with the flood again. And I'm going to give you a sign that you can remember what I promised you. It's going to be that bow in the sky. We call that a what? A rainbow. And every time it rains, do you see that rainbow in the sky? What is that a reminder of? That God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. What God says he will do for us, he will do. God's word is trustworthy. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, I believe. Is it there? Yes. And being fully persuaded, it says that what he had promised, he was able to perform. What God promises he can do. Whatever, when you read God's word and you rightly divide it, you can trust God's word. You can believe it. Because the Bible says God is a God who cannot lie. You can trust him. You can't trust me every time. Trust me. My wife will tell you that. You can't trust me every time. You can't trust the person who's your best friend, whoever that person is. Maybe you can't trust your spouse every single time to follow through on their promises. Definitely can't trust your children to always follow through on their promises, right, parents? But you know what? You can trust God. God keeps his promises. God's word is true and it's trustworthy, and if we study it, it can change our lives. And number 5 was this, our last day. We have a job. We have a job to do. We got one more verse to read, Genesis 9, verse 1. Genesis 9, verse 1 says this, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The earth was destroyed. It was a complete mess. It was in ruins. That word replenish means to rebuild, to refresh, to bring back to the state of what it was before. There wasn't any buildings. There wasn't any houses. There wasn't any homes. There wasn't anything for protection. It was like everything had started over again with creation, except for this was not a good creation. This was a mess. And Noah and his family had to multiply, replenish the earth, rebuild everything, start from scratch, and get the earth back to what it had been before. They had a big job to do, but we have a bigger job to do. Romans 1:16 says this. It's our job as Christians. It says, for I am not ashamed of the what? Gospel of Christ. That's the good news of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you want people to be saved, the only way to see them saved is by preaching the gospel to them. Now, you listen, you don't have to be asked to head up a ministry to have a job to do for God. You already have one. You don't have to be given a title. You don't have to be given a role. You don't have to be on staff at a church. If you're a Christian, God has given you a job. Are you fulfilling it? Are you taking it seriously? Are you spreading the news of the gospel of Christ? Now listen, the Bible points that we went over today and the ones we went over during the week, they're basically an outline of the step-by-step spiritual journey we should make as Christians. First, we have to recognize we're sinners. Next, we have to understand that our sin must be punished. Next, we have to understand that Christ is the only one who can save us from hell. And we have to choose to trust him by faith. Once we've made that decision, we can begin studying and rightly dividing God's word and holding fast to the truths that he's given us. knowing that they're trustworthy, knowing that they can be trusted to live our lives by. Finally, for those of us who have completed those last four steps, we must move along to the fifth step and realize that God's given us a job to do now that we belong to Him as one of His children. Which point along the journey are you at? Which step have you failed to make? Maybe it's you haven't even understood you were a sinner, haven't even admitted that before today. Maybe you didn't understand the punishment of your sin. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you have, but you've never really started studying God's Word and standing upon His Word. Maybe you've never taken just that stand of faith to start spreading the gospel of Christ. Wherever you're at, God wants you to take that next step. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer.